Open our ears, O God, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your mercy may dwell in our hearts toward all your people. Let your love for all creation come even to us in this hour. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes from 1 Kings. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam heard of son of Nebat heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who had attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They answered him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." But he disregarded the advice that the older men gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. He said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put upon us'?" The young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus you should say to this people who spoke to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you must lighten it for us.' Thus you should say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had said, "Come to me again on the third day." The king answered the people harshly. He disregarded the advice that the older men had given him and spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." When all Israel saw that the king would not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, O David." So Israel went away to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and resided there. He went out from there and built Penuel. Then Jeroboam said to himself, "Now the kingdom may well revert to the house of David. If this people continues to go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, the heart of this people will turn again to their master, King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam of Judah." So the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. He said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel, as Mark recorded it, chapter 10. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A long time ago, nearly 1,000 years before Christ, the Hebrew people had a king named Solomon. He was known far and wide for his wealth and his wisdom. He built the Great Temple, which was one of the grandest buildings ever built. In order to do that, Solomon laid heavy taxes on the Hebrew people and drafted a lot of people into forced labor. People of different racial backgrounds got harder or easier jobs in this forced labor. Some things don't change. He then kept the heavy taxes and the forced labor going after the temple was done. Slave labor built Solomon's house. Slave labor built a grand house, nearly as magnificent as Solomon's house, for Solomon's wife. Slave labor built the wall around Jerusalem. Slave labor conquered many of the Hebrews' neighbors. They did all this not for the glory of God, but for the glory of Solomon. While Solomon himself lived a life of luxury that amazed even rich foreign despots. In all of this, Solomon chose poorly. On top of that, Solomon loved many foreign women, and he worshipped their idols as well as God, Astarte and Milcom, Chemosh and Molech. In this too, Solomon chose poorly. The Lord told Solomon that because he had worshipped idols and had not kept the covenant with God, God would take the kingdom away. But because God had made promises to Solomon's father David, God would not do it in Solomon's lifetime. And God would leave Solomon's son one of the 12 tribes. So our story starts this Sunday, right after Solomon's death, with Solomon's son Rehoboam. This king's name literally means he enlarges the people. But as you see in this story, that description ends up mocking him. When a man named Jeroboam, or the increase of the people, hears that King Solomon has died and Rehoboam is now king, he comes to the king leading a delegation from the people. They ask this brand new king to lighten his father's burdens on the people, both the taxes and the forced labor. They promise that if he does that, they will serve him loyally. He responds, "Give me 3 days and come back to me for an answer." He asks his father's advisors what he should do. They advise him well. They tell him, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and speak good words when you answer to them, they will be your servants forever." But he doesn't like that idea, so he goes to the young man who grew up with him, and they tell him what he wants to hear. These guys sound like teenage bullies at their worst. They really do. They tell him, "He's king. He's not some kind of a servant." They advise him to use his power harshly, acting brashly and arrogantly and demeaning his people. They advise him to direct an obscene insult toward his own late father and to make things harder, not easier, for the ordinary people. Rehoboam, being an immature young man, goes for the direct way of overpowering people. He follows the young man's advice. He speaks to the ordinary people harshly and tells them that he's going to increase his demands on them, not for a particular purpose or for the good of the kingdom, but because he can. What he sees as his rights as king are more important, at least to him, than the good of the people. At this, 10 of the 12 tribes revolt. They secede and form their own kingdom in Samaria, leaving Rehoboam with just his own tribe, Benjamin, and the tribe of Judah. These Samaritans make their leader, Jeroboam, their king. King Rehoboam gets ready to go to war to bring these 10 tribes back under his rule. But God tells him through a prophet to send his troops home, that this division was part of God's plan. And then, almost as if he's determined not to let King Rehoboam have all the sin and make all the mistakes in this whole story, King Jeroboam of the new kingdom of Samaria then gets fearful about his position. Since the two kingdoms have the same religion, he's concerned that the people will go back to the king who rules Jerusalem. So he sets up two golden calves and tells the Samaritan people, "Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." This is exactly, word for word, what Aaron said about the original golden calf in the desert back during the Exodus. Jeroboam sets these calves up at the north and south ends of his two kingdoms and tells people to worship God there instead of in the temple. If you've ever wondered how the Jews of Jesus' day ended up not getting along with the Samaritans, this is where they came from. This is what happened 1,000 years before Christ's birth. So what? I mean, sure, it's kind of interesting where the Samaritans came from and why they don't get along with the Jews of Jesus' day. That's what gives the whole story of the Good Samaritan its punch, right? But why should we care what happened several thousand years ago, far, far away? We should care because leadership matters. Leadership and how you lead matter. Whether you're leading a nation state or Girl Scout troop, a city or a church. There are two basic ways someone can lead. The first is the easy way that Rehoboam chose, the way of brash arrogance and trying to make himself look great by demeaning everyone around him. Leading in this way costs Rehoboam 10/12 of his kingdom. This kind of leadership is all about the so-called leader, how great they are, and how great the people immediately around them are, and how not so great everyone else is. Really, though, this way of leadership is all about fear. Fear that he's not up to the task of leading. Fear that he will lead people into disaster. Rehoboam doesn't know how to lead people in any way other than giving harsh orders and having his slave drivers enforce those orders with whips. And he's afraid to try any other way. So he puffs himself up and talks big about how he's a bigger man than his father ever was, and how he's going to prove it by making the people twice as miserable as they ever were. He's going to prove that he's better than his father by making every mistake his father ever made twice as big and twice as loud. Jeroboam, in his new kingdom, doesn't do much better in terms of resisting fear. He knows, or he should know, the story of the golden calf in the desert. But then he repeats that story word for word. He makes not one, but two golden calves. He does this because he lets fear trick him, seduce him into doing something that if he'd been in his right mind, he never would have done. There is another way to lead. It starts with the recognition that, as my father would say, it's not about you, Skippy. Jesus taught his disciples that whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Leadership for those who are following Jesus Christ is not about oppressing other people. It's about lifting the burdens on the oppressed. Leadership is never about, I got mine, forget you. It's about finding ways to do justice for everybody. Finding ways to make sure that everyone has enough. Everyone has the shalom that God intended for every human being God ever created. Leadership is not about the leader or what's best for the leader. It's about doing what is best for the people who are being led. The God who came to earth and washed his disciples' feet chose not to lead like a tyrant, even though he could have. Ruling all the nations of the world as a tyrant was one of those temptations he rejected in the desert. Servant leadership is not new with Jesus. The older, wiser men advise Rehoboam to lead this way, and he rejects their advice. But Jesus shows us how to do it. It's being a shepherd. The shepherd stays in the fields with the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep, finds the lost sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. Not for the shepherd's benefit, for the sheep. This is what it is to be a leader. Whether you're leading a nation state or a Girl Scout troop, a city or a church, leaders who lead this way, whether they're afraid or not, never walk alone, because Jesus always walks with them. And God continues to love God's people, even when they choose poorly. God continues to love the people of both Israel and Judah. God keeps sending them prophets to urge them to come back to God's way. As we look at leaders and potential leaders, whether they're leaders we elect or people whose advice we listen to, or the leaders that we ourselves try to be, God has shown us, O mortals, what is good. It's servant leadership, like Jesus showed us. Accept no substitutes. Amen.